Can we just let's just take a moment and I'll explain as I go along, but I don't really have a very clear thought through message for today. So I think we just I feel Jesus wants to speak to us, but I think let's just be present to him. You know, like last week we talked about being present, be present to him. And allow him to speak to us. So can I just take a moment, just let's still ourselves, and then just I'll pray, and then we'll see what happens. Lord, we still ourselves before you. We desire this morning to sit at your feet and hear your voice. And I stand before you acknowledging that I don't have anything to say of myself. But I ask that you speak through me and that we hear from you together. And we'd know your presence and your word, both speaking to us but changing and transforming us and making us more into who you'd have us be. For the glory of the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. As I said, I'll explain as we go along, but I think a lot of what I will say today actually comes from me listening to myself to preach, which was me listening to God in the first place, I hope. And so really the bottom line is, you know, we've been saying life works with Jesus. I'm not doing shame. Maybe I'll do shame next week. I just don't have time to do it this week. It's a shame. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, dear. Is it? Well, Graham, if there's one person who'll get in quicker, it'll be Graham. That's a shame. If anything, I would say this week, it's life really does work with Jesus. I mean, because sometimes one can stand up at the front and you can almost like know the theory, if you like, and this has been your experience from a long time ago, and you teach from that experience. You have to, because you can't be on the buzzer with everything every single moment. But this week, I think I've had to draw on some of the things that I've been teaching you and teaching myself the last few weeks. And as I have done, I found that life really does work with Jesus. It really does. You know, it's not just an idea, it's not just a saying, but life really does work with Jesus. And it's a living reality. And in him, everything in life will find it works in one way or another. This one saying this morning really comes from a decision I made while I was in hospital with Ella, to be present before God, you know, like we were talking about the other week. And in the midst of the struggle of that hospital admission was, and then how things have been this last week, I felt it right just to tell you about what Louise and I experienced. And so in hospital, some scriptures which I'll come to came to me, and which have really anchored me for this last week, which this last week for Louise and I has been probably one of the worst weeks of our married life. Not in our marriage, we're okay, you know, we're still talking. But we've been through a lot of just stress, anxiety, fear. I can't really go into the details. I don't really want to go into the details. I don't have the emotional energy to go into the details of what's been happening. And I think it's not really appropriate to in many ways. But we've had all that stuff. Sometimes you read about, you know, with Paul, the sleeplessness and the anxiety, the stress, the fear of it all. It's been horrible. And I can't tell you what details, but just take it from me, it's not been good. But through it, we have found and known the peace of Jesus. And that's what I want you to hear. But I don't want you to go away thinking, oh goodness, you know, she's gone grey this week. But I don't want to belittle what's happened to us. You know, it's been hard, very hard. But in the bad news, there's always, if we're with God, there's good news makes more sense when there's bad news. In fact, good news only makes sense if there's bad news as well. Does that make sense? And through this week, I think we've known the sovereignty of God, we've known the presence of God in an almost tangible way. And I'm not sort of trying to stand up and say, you know, some people get quite shouting, all victory, you know, but actually there's been, we've been strung out this week, really at our lowest, I think, in many ways. But the testimony of God is that He is strong in our weakness. He is strong in our weakness. And when we call on Him, He does help. And that in the midst of a storm, there is peace. You know, so going back to that, when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, you have to really shake him to wake him up, you know. And so the reason is because he's just peaceful in the midst of the storm. Even though the storm's there, the storm's very real. And so this week we've been through, maybe we've learned something from it. Maybe we've been refined through the fire in some way. There's a psalm. I'm a bit bizarre. I like these kind of slightly morbid psalms. Or my favourite composer is Mahler, and everybody died around Mahler, and most of his music is about people dying or death. But I like it. It brings comfort to me. Always have done since a teenager. Crazy, I know. While Louise was listening to ABBA, I was listening to Mahler. That's one of our differences. But anyway, Psalms have gone off already. Psalm 66. In the middle of it, it says, "Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard." We like that. "He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping." We like that. And then it says, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us out. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our back. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance." And that doesn't make sense, really, if you read it. And you probably want to kind of gloss over it when you're reading it in a good place in your life. And you think, well, I'm hoping that's not going to happen to me. I'm really not even going to enjoy. It was the people that the bit about riding over our heads, letting people ride over our heads, it has always struck me as not particularly nice. You know, I watched the rugby yesterday, a bit of it. Thank you, Reg, for not mentioning it. But, you know, it's one thing to see rugby players crash over each other, but I'm imagining that we're talking about people on horseback or in chariots and stuff riding over your head. And just that kind of image, it just hurts. Yeah, Sheila, that face is exactly how I'm feeling about it. And the idea that God will allow that to happen or even cause that to happen to teach us some kind of lesson, I can't quite get my head around it. I'm not going to go into all of that right now. But the end of that phrase is that, "But you have brought us to a place of abundance. And you refined us like fire, like silver through the fire." That's what our week feels like a little bit, you know, for us this week we've been through. Maybe in our suffering, as it says, is it in Romans, where suffering brings perseverance, and perseverance brings character, and character brings hope, you know, those things. I think so. Maybe we've known God a lot more through this hard trial. Yes, I think so. And I do rejoice that I know God more now at the end of the week than I did at the beginning of the week. And so anyway, so that wasn't the verse I was coming to, actually. The verse is that I felt it right to wait in these verses. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you just think, I'm just going to wait in this. Meaning, I mean, in hospital you wait a lot, right? So I was just sat there and I had the option of either just kind of looking on the BBC website and seeing what happened in the news. Again, going back to the news, sometimes we're just so interested in what's happening in the current affairs, but what's happening in heaven? So let's just wait in these verses. And so the two verses are good old Psalm 23, which I'm sure you know, but let's read that first, actually, Psalm 23. I mean, we've sung it, but let's just read it, and let's just allow it, just wait in it for a moment. I'll read it to you. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then the other just two verses from Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 7 and 8, which says, "The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts." And you might think, why are we putting these things together? There's a connecting thing about righteous, the paths of the righteous. In Psalm 23, it talks about he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And here in Isaiah 26, it's talking about the path of the righteous is level. And for me, at the moment, this righteousness is a very sort of churchy word, isn't it? It's a very sort of Christian word, or religious word, I suppose. And you think, it has kind of all kind of connotations, which are probably right connotations in some ways and wrong in other ways, but we can get sort of quite hung up on that. And there is an understanding of that, but for me at the moment, what that means is just being right. Simply living in what is right. So righteousness in that sense is I'm just living in what is the right thing to live in. And truth. You know, the path of truth, if you like. And so when you're walking with Jesus, if you actually are following what he says and living with him, you're living in righteousness because you're just living in the right stuff. You know, right decisions, right ideas, right thinking, right speaking, right everything. That's probably not the technical understanding of righteousness, but I'm not fussed about that at the moment. It's just, you know, this is just, it's right to live with Jesus. It's like right to live in his ways. And when we live in his right ways, then life works. Life really works. Life is the paths are smooth. And this thing here in Isaiah, it says in verse 8, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desires of our heart." Because it's about his name. You know, and so when we're walking and we're living, and at the end of the day, it's his name that matters. And so when we're living with his name first and foremost in our thoughts, then we're living right, and then life works. It's all the same kind of thing, really. You know, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. We yearn for that day when that is just the complete reality. But I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but when that happens, when everybody is so consumed with Jesus that every knee is bowing and every tongue confessing, there won't be any problems. The phone won't be ringing with somebody from work saying, "Can you come in and sort out this problem?" Because we will just have the one name. That will be our only concern. There won't be any family issues where they're having an argument downstairs about, you know, who put the sugar away and who spilt the milk and who's going to clear it up or anything like that. Because there will just be one thing that's important, and it's Jesus' name. You know, and now we maybe are thinking, how am I going to get to the end of the month if I haven't got enough money, you know, or there are health problems or all these kind of things, and they take our attention, don't they? And let's be honest, you know, because when we're at work or something, then money is an issue, or when you get a diagnosis, then health things become an issue. But when we get to that point when Jesus is just about Jesus, then those things won't be distracting. And so as much as we can, when his name is the desire of our hearts, then life works. Because other things but they don't take our attention. And we can live right. And we can live at peace. Even when everything else is in turmoil around us, we can live at peace because we have the name of Jesus. And so, just like Jesus slept through the storm, as if it was a mill pond he was on, you know, he made, his way was smooth. Did you notice how Jesus' path was smooth in the midst of that storm? He's just, just enjoying the smooth path, and yet all around him it's chaos and turmoil. Because I think the thing is, we've got to hold in balance. It's something that God spoke to Louise this week. She said, I have a picture of a teacup, and she says, I wonder whether this is just a storm in a teacup. And I was kind of thinking, well, I think actually any storm, no matter how big it is to us, to God, is a storm in a teacup. Isn't it? I mean, our perspective is like, this is a real storm. This is a proper storm here. But God looks down and says, well, there's a teacup and there's a storm in it. But if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I'll be really honest with you. When troubles came our way this week, we didn't immediately go into a state of sort of spiritual ecstasy and start hovering on clouds and thinking, yes, God is in control. And down below in that teacup, to the teacup, this will not trouble us. No, there was genuine fear, there was genuine anxiety, there was genuinely, we did not sleep, there was genuinely all the things that everybody goes through when stuff happens. But please don't think that Louise and I, particularly because I'm the pastor and she's the pastor's wife, that we live in some kind of spiritual plane up here, you know, where we just get on our cloud. Do you remember Monkey Magic? Anyone watch that one? Yeah? There's a kid, it was a TV program, and this monkey used to get on this pink cloud and fly around, you know. I loved it. We are not like that. We don't just get on a pink cloud and take off and just leave it all behind. This hurts. And there have been real moments of doubt and fear in us this week. But as I was, the way Jesus smoothed my path and the way Jesus brought rightness to my path this week, I was walking home from dropping off Abbey School, and loads of things were playing on my mind, and I know Louise's mind as well, and I just was reminded of Romans 8, you know, where it says, all things work for good for those who love them. Okay, we know that, yep. But this is how I turned it around for me. I was saying, I felt God say, this is how you pray today. This is good for me. This is good for me. This situation is good for me. My paths that day were made smooth because I was able to say, or whether it was say it or pray it or meditate on it or whatever it was, this is good for me. Now, that wasn't wishful thinking, because we can sort of like close our eyes and think, oh yeah, this is good for me, honestly, this is good for me, I don't think it's good for me, yeah, it's good for me, and try and convince ourselves. And it's not, you know, positive sort of self-help thinking here. It was faith to take hold of a truth of Scripture, but just to say, I either believe this or I don't. I either believe that Jesus is who he is, in which case I can actually say this and it is true and I will live in it, or... And the paths are made smooth, or I can just decide that it's not true. But life with Jesus can give us that perspective where we can say that even if everything else is completely falling apart, you can actually say this is good for me. In every situation, we can say through Jesus, this is good for me. Did you know that? So even in every situation, in any situation, because of that verse in Romans 8, if all things, not just good things, or not even just the bad things, but all things are good for me, work for the good, then we can all say that in Jesus, this is all good for me. That takes faith, I know. Now, the funny thing is, in the middle of this week we just had, this really crazy, intense week, we'd been given tickets to go to Pennyhill Park Spa on Thursday. So at the beginning of the week, I was thinking, well, that's going to be a waste of time, because I'm just so stressed with everything else, I'm never going to enjoy my day at Pennyhill Park Spa. You know where that is? Keith, you need to get out more. It's very expensive, and you would never go there unless somebody gave you free tickets. Well, I certainly wouldn't. I think, I won't even go into the cost. Very generous people. Thank you very much for those who gave it to us. But I really felt, actually, and it became very much, it's in Psalm 23, it says, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. So here we are, sitting in one of those lounges and in a pool and having nice food. And the England rugby team were training as well, so we watched the number eight, I forget his name now, he was playing Uno. Did you know that's what they do in their spare time, playing Uno? And we were just surrounded by this, and we just managed to have this moment. And, you know, so I went to the gym, and I did a bit of exercise, and it was a bit painful, but I knew it was good for me, right? We know that. We know that exercise is good for us, yeah? Even though it's a bit painful, we know it's good. And then I had salmon and veg for lunch. Yeah? And we know that's good for us, right? Yeah? I lay around doing very little and taking my own teaching of being deliberately unproductive. We know that is good for us, right? We know that is good for us. I sat in some warm water. I sat in the sauna. Apparently that is good for us. I'm not quite sure how the sauna thing is good for us. It hurts, if I'm honest. You breathe in and it feels like the hair inside your nose is burning. Apparently that is good for us. And we know these things. And we have that perspective, don't we? For whatever reason, we know that these things are good for us. And so that's why we do them. But through faith, we know that through Jesus' death and his resurrection and his ascension and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we have a greater perspective that in hard times or in good times or any times, in fact, it's all good for us. Better than eating salmon and veg for lunch. I was hungry after that, I have to say. I did fancy a Mars bar afterwards, but that's another matter. But you know, when there's great suffering, and when there's nothing left in us but just pain and anguish, we can say, through Jesus. And I'm not saying that this is easy, but this is true. This is good for us. And it's faith in God, faith in our God who turned death into life, who turned the cross to an empty grave, that we can say, it's good. It's good for us. And all things work for the good of those who love him. And you're not going to get that through positive thinking, all right? I'm not talking about positive thinking or sort of thinking happy thoughts. But it's just simply by accepting Jesus. And as we walk in his paths and wait on him, he somehow cuts out a smooth and straight path for us in difficult times. And he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he makes a smooth path for those who live in righteousness. And when our God reigns, everything is made smooth. Even when everything else is rough, there's smooth here. So we got to the end of the week and I just said to Louise, are you feeling the same kind of thing? And it's like, yeah, we just feel that completely at peace, that God is in control. And even though the storm is still there, we just feel at peace. That has happened to me before in my life as well. So I praise God this isn't just a one-off thing. But it's not just a one-off tablet, you know, you're allowed to use it more than once. You know, because in all things, God works for the good. And when we get to the end of our control, and when we get to the end of ourselves, and when we reach that limit where it's just, I have nothing else here, nothing but God, then actually, you've got everything you need. In fact, you've got more than you had in the first place. Because you've got nothing of you, but you've got everything of him. I mean, if you didn't have him, it would be absolutely, literally hopeless, wouldn't it? But we don't. We have the Lord. Let me read those verses again. The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our heart. So I know you know, but I'm going to just continue to encourage you to lay your lives on the foundation of Jesus, on his teaching, and of his love, on his grace. Yeah, listen to me teach on a Sunday, but don't just do that. You know, dwell in his word, dwell in his word. Just wait in his word and soak it into you. Get it into your life. Know what it is to follow him. Make the renown of his name the desire of your heart, and walk in those righteous paths. And in the midst of this broken world, we will all know what it is to feast at the table set before us in the presence of our enemies. I didn't know what I was going to share. I think I will just tell you. The reason why I was confident to share this morning is I had no other time to prepare anything else other than just this is our experience. But I took Ella to her ice skating lesson on, on Friday, and it occurred to me that the way of ice is the smoothest path possible, isn't it? And the way Ella's ice skating teacher teaches is she just says, follow me, funny enough, I think she actually says, follow me. And then she just glides off into the ice. I mean, it's amazing to watch. I mean, she's just so graceful. And then you've got Ella and a couple of other people in the class, and they're kind of sort of trying their best to follow this almost perfection on ice, you know? But each week, if you go and you watch Ella, she gets slightly better. And so that's how we are with it. You know, I'm not going to say that every time some calamity comes in your life, you're going to, like I say, float up on the clouds straight away and everything's fine straight off. Because following Jesus is a bit wobbly sometimes, even on the smooth part, you know. But as we do it more and more, we get the hang of it. So you look at Ella now and she kind of is following. You know, and that's probably, if you look around at us now, you're thinking, I can actually just about see some Jesus traits in you people. This is, I've seen it, it's happening. And, you know, and as we go along the way, we get more and more like him. As we start, just follow me, she says, you know, do this, do that. And it looks so easy, but then you try it yourself. It's not necessarily quite so easy, but it is following. So go for it. I throw that in. But I want to just finish by saying, I hope that you don't go away from this worrying about Richard and Louise. I mean, because that's not what I want you to do. Do not worry is one of the most recurring phrases in the Bible, isn't it? Yeah. And the reason why it says that, also it also follows, because God says, do not worry because I'm with you. All right. So when we're with God, we don't need to worry. Now, again, like I say, that doesn't just happen. I mean, we have these things in our heads. But I want you not to worry about us because I believe God is with us. But if you can want to do anything, pray for us, that God, we know God is with us even more. All right? So don't worry, because I don't know if you've noticed, but worrying doesn't really achieve an awful lot. Yeah. In fact, it probably uses more stress than you, and then usually ends up in people trying to do things. You know, it's a bit like Abraham when he worried that he would be never son, so he took it into his own hands, and it all went through. So don't worry, but please do pray for us. Do love us. But the same goes for all of us. You know, I don't know, I mean, Margaret, you know, Margaret's not very well. Don't worry about Margaret, but do pray, really do pray for her. And do love her, and do pray that she encounters what I've just been talking about for herself. And entirely real for her. And the same goes for all of us, you know, I'm just talking about us. And you know, I'll just finish with this prayer from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it as a prayer for all of us. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Lord, just make it real for us. Lord, I pray for each one of us. Whatever we go through, however, wherever, Lord, let us be able to live in the reality that this is good for us, because you are with us and you love us and you work all these things out. Lord, we desire your peace when everything else is turmoil. We desire to have that perspective on life, that this life works, that even in the brokenness around us, we can live at peace and live with you and live right. So I pray, teach us to walk in these right paths and give us the heart to make your name known that one and only desire of our heart. Your renown. Your glory. Because in that, nothing else really matters. But pray, open us up to receive you more each day. I pray what you spoke to Bryony just earlier, if that is speaking to anyone particularly now, that you would minister to them by your Spirit. We give ourselves to you. Have your way. Amen.